Hello everyone, my name's Emily, and I'm going to be reading you guys The Talented Clementine. This book is the book that is going to be read throughout the Flashlight Readers Club, which is done every Thursday at 6:50 p.m. So this is the recording from after. The Talented Clementine, Chapter 1. I have noticed that teachers get exciting confused with boring a lot, but when my teacher said, "Class, we have an exciting project to talk about," I listened anyway. "Our school is going to raise money for the big spring trip," he said. "The first and second grades are going to hold a bake sale. The fifth and sixth grades are going to have a car wash. And the third and fourth grades are going to put on a talent show." All the kids in the room made sounds, as if they thought the talent show was exciting news. Except me, because it was N-O-T, not. But okay, fine. It wasn't boring either. Just then, Margaret's teacher came to the door to talk to my teacher, which was good because it gave me an extra minute to think. "Old people love to pat my little brother's head," I said when my teacher walked back into the room. "How about we set up a booth and charge them a quarter to do it instead of having a talent show?" But he ignored me, which is called getting on with the day when a teacher does it, but being inconsiderate when a kid does it. "Class," he said, "one of the fourth graders has come up with a name for our show. Talent Palooza, Night of the Stars." It had to be that Margaret. "First, we'll need a cooperative group to make some posters," my teacher said. And that's when the worried feeling, as if somebody were scribbling with a big black crayon, started up in my brains. My teacher kept on going with the cooperative group list. The scribbling got harder and faster and spread down into my stomach. I knew what this meant. I raised my hand. "Yes, Clementine, would you like to be in the cooperative group for refreshments?" "No, thank you," I said, extra politely. What I'd like to do is go to Miss Rice's office." "Clementine, you don't need to go see the principal," my teacher said. "You're not in any trouble." "Well, it's just a matter of time," I told him. My teacher looked at me as if he suddenly had no idea how I'd gotten into his classroom, but then he gave a big sigh and said, "All right." So I got up. As I left, the O'Malley twins gave me the thumbs up sign, which made me feel like I wasn't alone, but they were wearing their "thank goodness it's not me" faces, which made me know that I was. I walked down the hall on worried legs and knocked on the door with worried knuckles. "Come in," Principal Rice said. When she saw it was me, she held out her hand for the note from my teacher that would tell her what kind of little chat we should have. We have done this a lot. But today I just sat on her chair and started right in. "Which are smarter, chimpanzees or orangutans?" "That's an interesting question, Clementine," Miss Rice said. "Maybe you could ask the science teacher after you've told me what you're doing here." "Also, I've been wondering what the difference is between smashed and crashed." Miss Rice handed me her dictionary, and then suddenly I didn't want to know anymore. That's the miracle about dictionaries. "Well, how about you put it on the floor so you can rest your feet on it instead of kicking my desk?" Principal Rice suggested. "You seem to have very busy feet today." So I did, and it felt good. "Thank you," I said. "I don't have any talents." "Excuse me," said Principal Rice. "I don't have any talents," I said again. Miss Rice looked at me for a long time, and then she said, "Oh." Then I told her I was all done being there, and I left. When I got off the bus, Margaret's brother Mitchell was sitting on the front steps of our apartment building. "What's the matter, Clementine?" he asked me. I guess my worried face was still on. I handed him the stupid flyer my teacher had sent home with us. "Talent Palooza, Night of the Stars. Share your talents Saturday night," he read. Then he handed the flyer back to me. "So what's the problem?" I leaned over, but not too close in case he thought I was trying to be his girlfriend, which I am not, and whispered the problem to him. "I can't hear you," he said. So I whispered it again. "I still can't hear you," he said. So I yelled it. "That's impossible," he said. "Everybody has a talent." "Not me." "No singing?" "No singing." "No dancing?" "No dancing." "No musical instruments?" "No musical instruments." Mitchell was quiet for a minute. "How about hopping?" he asked finally. "No hopping," I answered. "Everyone can hop," Mitchell said. "Not me." Then I proved it to him. "Wow," said Mitchell, twice. I sat down on the step beside him, except I fell off because my body was a little confused from trying to hop. "See," I said, "I can't even do sitting. It's hopeless." "Maybe not. Cheer up. Maybe you have a really great talent. You just haven't figured it out yet." I gave Mitchell a, "See, I'm already cheered up," smile, but it was just my mouth pretending. Chapter 2. The next morning, Margaret sat next to me on the bus as usual. I had never noticed it before, but she was very talented at sitting down. Her dress stayed in place as if it were painted on, and not a single paper spilled out of her backpack, which reminded me to crawl under the seat and get on mine before we got to school. This was called being organized. The O'Malley twins got on at the next stop and sat in front of us. They are named Willie and Lily. When I first heard this idea, I tried to get my parents to change my brother's name so it would rhyme with mine. "How about Blementine?" I asked them. "How about Frementine or Schlementine?" But they weren't interested, so I just kept calling him vegetable names, which are the only ones worse than a fruit name, like I got stuck with. Lily turned around. "What are you going to do with the talent show, Margaret?" she asked. "I have too many talents," Margaret groaned. She flapped her hands around her head as if her talents were flies she had to shoo away. "Hundreds of them. I can't decide." This was true. Margaret was always taking lessons. Clarinet, baton, twirling, ballet, swimming, you name it. She took lessons for it. "Why don't you do them all at once?" I suggested, which was supposed to be a joke, and okay, fine, not the nice kind. But Margaret was not very talented at knowing when I was joking. "That's a wonderful idea, Clementine. Thank you." Then the O'Malley twins and I had to listen for 100 hours to Margaret figuring out which talents would be good together. Ice skating and accordion playing probably wouldn't work, but tap dancing and singing would be easy, and she could hula hoop at the same time. Plus, she could play a drum if she hung it around her neck, and maybe throw in a couple of cartwheels. "And hey," she cried, slapping her forehead at the great idea that had just popped in. "What if I rode a horse on stage?" "Well, I've only got one talent," Willie said, "but it's a great one." He lifted his lunchbox, my whole lunch, in my mouth at once. "You do that every day," I reminded him. "Not on stage," Willie answered. Then he asked me what I was going to do. "It's a surprise," my mouth said, without me even telling it to, which was not a lie, because if I did anything at all on that stage next weekend, it would be a pretty big surprise, all right. And then I pressed my mouth into a ruler for the rest of the bus ride so it couldn't say any more surprises. In school, my teacher started in with the talent palooza business so fast I thought it was the new last part of the Pledge of Allegiance, with liberty and justice for all. "And I know we're all very excited to get our big project," he said. So it was too late for my secret plan of hypnotizing him into forgetting. Luckily, I thought up another really good plan right away. I raised my hand. "Yes, Clementine? Do you want to volunteer for a cooperative group?" "I would like to tell something to you," I answered, and I made a capital P with my fingers, which means in private. My teacher nodded, so I went up to his desk. I made quick secret eyes all around behind, knowing to look for the pizza and donuts everyone knows teachers eat when kids aren't looking, but I didn't find any. Then I told him what I was thinking of. "What if there's a kid who doesn't have a talent?" "Not me, because I have LOTS lots." "Of course, I have so many. But what if some other kid doesn't?" "Everyone has a talent, Clementine," my teacher answered. "Everyone has something they're especially good at." "But what if one kid got left out? What if whoever's in charge forgot to give one kid a talent? Wouldn't that person, who is not me, be embarrassed at a talent show?" "Why, that's very thoughtful of you," my teacher said. "But, yep," I said, "I am very thoughtful. So I guess we should just forget about the whole talent palooza idea." "Oh, I really don't think so. But just to be sure, I'll talk to the class." Then he stood and said, "Class, let's have a show of hands. How many of you have an act to perform at the talent show?" Everyone's hand shot up in the air. "Well, I guess that settles it," my teacher said. "But thank you anyway, Clementine." "Okay, fine. It wasn't such a good idea." But just then, an even better one popped into my head. I'm lucky that way. Astounding ideas are always popping into my head, and I don't even have to use my brain to get them there. At journal writing, I did my idea. When I was done writing, I curled my hand over my sentence as if it were too private to share, which is how you get a teacher to come and look at it. Sure enough, my teacher came over and took a look. He frowned and bent closer to read it again. "You have to move this week?" I quick squeezed the word might in between. "I have to move this week?" Might is a helpful word when you're not exactly telling the truth. "You might have to move?" I nodded. Nodding is not exactly telling a lie. "Where might you have to move to?" I had forgotten to think about this part. While I was umming, I looked around the room in case there was a good answer lying around. And there was. I pointed to the social studies bulletin we had made last week. "You're moving to Egypt?" my teacher asked. I nodded again. "You never know." "Why?" my teacher asked. "Is one of your parents being transferred?" I was glad he had thought of a good reason. "My dad," I said. "He might be getting a new job." "My dad is a building manager. He makes sure everything runs okay in our building, which has lots of apartments. Last year, our building went condo. This means that now the apartments are called condominiums and the people own them instead of renting them. My dad says sometimes they get a little confused and they think it means that they own him. He's not so crazy about buildings going condo." "He might have to take care of a pyramid," I said. I pointed to the cardboard pyramid Willie O'Malley had made. If I had made it, it would have had the right number of sides. But I was stuck drawing the Sphinx because whenever anyone else tried, it looked like a grasshopper. When I draw things, everyone knows what they are, even grown-ups. This is because I am practically a famous artist. If they had a game show for drawing, I would probably win every prize, and I would not pick the dumb ones, like dining room set or a year's supply of car wax, either. "Don't you think it's unfair that game shows don't have good prizes, like gorillas or submarines?" I asked my teacher, but he wasn't paying attention. "Your father's being transferred to a pyramid? Is he an archaeologist, Clementine?" "He's a building manager. He says everything's going condo these days. He says nothing's safe. The Great Pyramid is 481 feet tall. That's as tall as a 50-story building. That could be a lot of condominiums." "And your father's going to go over there and manage them?" "Might," I reminded him. "It's a big job. He'd have to do things like hire the doorman and make sure the elevators run right. So I guess I won't be here for the elevators in the Great Pyramid?" "Yep. And tell people, no grills on the roof. That's another part of his job. Anyway, it's too bad that I can't be in the talent put no grills on the roof of the Great Pyramid?" "Right. And please leave your trash outside on Thursdays. So I'm just really sad that," but my teacher just patted me on my head. "You are one in a million, Clementine. One in a million." Then he was all done being at my desk and he walked away laughing. There should be a rule about that. No laughing for teachers. Chapter 3. When I got off the bus, I saw my dad outside trimming the ivy that grows between our building and the sidewalk. He pointed to an extra pair of clippers beside him. "You're 8 now, sport. I think you're old enough to handle these." So I picked up the clippers, even though I am not so fond of pointy things, and started trimming the ivy with him. After a couple minutes, he said, "You were kind of quiet at dinner last night. Is anything wrong?" I wanted to tell him about having no talents for the talent show, but just then the junior high bus pulled up and Mitchell got off. He came over and asked what we were doing. "Gotta keep after this ivy," my dad told him. "It grows so fast it could cover the windows and be all over the sidewalk if I don't keep cutting it back." Mitchell dropped his backpack. "Whoa," he said. "Do you mean that if one of the Red Sox was walking by and the ivy was shooting out onto the sidewalk, it could trip him, and then he'd be out for the rest of the season, and then we might not be in the playoffs or the World Series?" "Well, that's not exactly the reason the Condo Association gave," my dad said. but I like your reason better. We're playing an important role in the outcome of baseball history this year. He held his clippers out. Wanna help? Whoa, Mitchell said again. Dude. He high-fived my dad, then took the clippers. Thanks. Mitchell began trimming the ivy, and my dad sat on the brick wall to rest. They started talking about baseball. We live in Boston, and Mitchell is obsessed with the Red Sox. He's going to be one when he's older. If I ever get married, which I will not, I would like to marry a Red Sox player, but not Mitchell, because he's not my boyfriend. Then you could get all those hot dogs for free in the ballpark. Did you ever see a strikeout perfect game? My dad was asking Mitchell. I did once in the minor leagues. It's a thing of beauty. What's a strikeout perfect game? I asked. It's when a pitcher throws only strikes for a whole game, Mitchell told me. Wow, I said. So 81 strikes in a row? Mitchell stared at me, and you could tell he was trying to multiply strikes and outs and innings in his head. Don't bother, my dad told him. She's a genius at math. Whoa, Mitchell said for the third time. Awesome. Then he walked off, shaking his head, probably to try it on a calculator. Dad picked up the clippers and got back to work. So, he asked again, is everything all right, sport? Well, I was wondering if we might be moving. Moving? He repeated. Right, I said. I was just wondering if you might be getting a new job. In Egypt. You thought I might be getting a new job in Egypt? I nodded. On Friday? Well, that's an odd one. No, you don't have to worry about that anymore. We are definitely not moving to Egypt on Friday. In fact, we have no plans to move anywhere, anytime. Then we trimmed the ivy some more, and I got a good idea. My dad says I'm the queen of noticing interesting things. He says he's just learning from a master, but I think he's pretty good at it too. For a grown-up, anyway. So I asked him if he'd noticed any good talents lately. What do you mean? Well, not the normal ones like singing or dancing or playing an instrument. Those are boring. I was just wondering if you've seen any pizzazzy ones lately. Well, let's see. In the park this morning, I saw a bunch of guys flying kites with fishing poles. They were really good. Really talented at it. That would be kind of hard on stage. Any other ones? Well, on the way home, I was walking behind a woman. She had a poodle, a pocketbook, and a cup of coffee, and she was talking on her phone. I have no idea how she juggled that all. Juggling was a good talent. Thanks, Dad, I said. Then I went inside. Luckily, I found everything right away. My mom's pocketbook was right on her drawing table, and next to it was a cup of coffee. The phone was under my bed, probably string bean left it there, because I'm sure I didn't. Then I found moisturizer and scooped him up. Okay, fine, a kitten isn't the same as a poodle, but they call this making do. Let me tell you, it's pretty hard just holding all those things at once. And before I could toss everything into the air and start talking on the phone, moisturizer saw a bird outside and he jumped out of my arms and everything crashed onto the floor. And I learned the difference between crashed and smashed. Crashed is easier to clean up. Also, I learned that spilled coffee is easier to clean up when you spill it on a new brown rug. You hardly have to touch it at all. I went back inside and asked my dad if he had any other talents to tell me about. He put down his clippers. Why all this interest in talent all of a sudden, sport? I reached into my pocket and pulled out the flyer and handed it to him. Talent Palooza, Night of the Stars, he read. That's quite the title. He pointed up to the fifth floor. Oh, he said. Margaret? I nodded. And Margaret has hundreds of talents. She's going to do something pizzazzy at the show. So you're trying to think of something pizzazzy to do too, right? Not exactly, I said. I'm trying to think of anything to do at all. I don't have any talents. Are you kidding, Clementine? You're the most talented person I know. Of course he has to say that. He's my father. Still, for a minute, I started thinking maybe he and Mitchell were right. Maybe I had some really great talent I just didn't know about yet. Then he started talking again and ruined it. Take pruning ivy, for instance, he said, nodding at my wall. You're a natural. One day, and you're already one of the best in the business, sport. Dad, my dad thinks he's funny. Mostly I do, too. Or thinking of things to put on top of toast. Remember the lime jello? I still can't get over it. Sheer genius. Dad, I'm serious. Okay, seriously. Let's see. You're good at math, obviously. You're an amazing artist, and you're really good at seeing things from a fresh angle and having new ideas. Remember how you won the Great Pigeon War for me? And you're the queen of noticing things. You're curious, and you ask the most interesting questions. You, Dad, I stopped him. I can't do those things on stage. But he wasn't paying attention, and you are very empathetic. Do you know what that means? I shook my head. Maybe it was something like, good at a musical instrument nobody knows about? My dad sat down on the wall again and patted a space next to him. I sat down too. It's a wonderful thing to be. It means you're good at figuring out how other people are feeling. You care about that. And suddenly, I was very empathetic. I saw that my dad was starting to get worried about me, and he was going to feel sad if he couldn't help me. So I jumped up. Thanks, Dad. I feel better now. I gave him a big smile and hurried inside in case he was empathetic too, in case he could see what I was really feeling. That's the end of chapter 3. So we read 3 chapters for the first night. We hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you next week.